You're listening to the Terrier Tracker Podcast with Todd Shaughnessy. Join us as we take a look at the Wofford College sports scene.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Terrier Tracker Podcast. This is Todd Shaughnessy at the Spartanburg Herald Journal, and I'm joined, as always, by Tom Henson, longtime voice of the Terriers. Always appreciate him coming on.
Todd, always a pleasure to be on with you.
You know, it's we're one game into the season after a bye week, and it's a feeling that I didn't think we were going to have. I mean, it's not the greatest feeling right now for a team that started in the top 10. Lost to South Carolina State, but stunned a lot of people. And now they're dealing with a lot of injuries. And all of a sudden, it feels like a must-win for the home game Saturday against Samford.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. It's just a bad taste in everybody's mouth right now, whether that's, you know, certainly the players and coaches, but the fan base. I mean, everybody's just kind of taken aback a little bit because of the expectations that were put on Wofford in the preseason, and rightfully so. And so now you're here in a situation where it's your first conference game, and your conference goals are still there, but you gotta get this bad taste out of your mouth somehow, and you got to figure out a way to do it Saturday night against a team that's really beat up on you the last several years.
Yeah, we hinted about the injuries, and they're not marginal.
No,
they're pretty key injuries. Mikael Horton will miss the season. He's had the toughest luck of anybody I know of as far as the injuries go. And then Thad Mangum looks like he has had surgery or will have surgery and may not return at all this season with a knee. Those are two all-conference defensive linemen. All of a sudden you're thin, you're young, and a lot of questions come up.
Yeah, it does. And that's a concern for me now, losing those two guys. Young is the key word, and sometimes talent can be young, but if you haven't been in a college game and in that type of environment, it can cause you some problems. And now going up against a Samford offense that we've seen in the past, again, Devlin Hodges is not there anymore. That's a big difference. But they can still score with anybody. And I think when they, you know, see that Wofford's got some youth on the defensive line, there may be some things that they can do to take advantage of that. But the mantra everywhere in college football is, hey, it's next man up. You know, and this is the opportunity for some of these younger guys who were brought in because they have the ability to show they can have the ability and to show how they can play. But again, your depth is a concern now. Just everything's a concern. And I'm going to be very interested to see how the Wofford defensive line comes out and how they play Saturday night. And then how this proceeds moving forward with you know, young guys getting more experience, but also the depth.
Samford's offense looks, I mean, it's hard to tell because of who they played, but they look as explosive as ever almost. I mean, they've scored 80 points in a couple games. They've got a quarterback or two. They're not Hodges, but they're good players and great receivers. And when you factor in that Wofford is missing those defensive linemen and may not get the pressure on the quarterback that they need, That seems like a real scary deal.
Yeah, I think it is. Chris Oladokun is the guy who I think, and I may have butchered his name, he's a South Florida transfer. He's the guy that I think is going to see the most action at quarterback, and he's put up some big numbers. And he's not Devlin Hodges, but he's talented and he's good. And they've got some skill position players that can play anywhere in FCS. And, you know, this is so far, the first two games, typical Samford team. They hadn't tried to run the ball very much. They want to dink and dunk you to death down the field, and that's been successful for them, particularly against Wofford. You know, in the past, quarterback pressure hasn't been that big of a deal because Hodges didn't have the ball in his hand that long. If that's the case, then maybe a young defensive line doesn't necessarily matter. But if they want to sit back in the pocket, that's when you've got to have defensive linemen that can put pressure and get in the quarterback's face, force him into some turnovers. And I think that's going to be a huge key this Saturday is – who wins the turnover battle? Because Wofford lost it handily against South Carolina State, and it affected the game. If Wofford can come out and put some pressure on South Carolina State for some turnovers, that would go a long way to helping them feel better about the things. And it puts the offense in a better position on the field to maybe move the ball easier and get some scores.
Here's Wofford senior safety Mason Alstadt on facing Samford.
Well, you know, Samford's always been one of those teams. I haven't beat Samford since I've been here. You can't sleep on a Samford team. They like to throw the ball. As you can tell, they have a ton of passing yards every game. So, you know, it's just someone you can't sleep on, of course, and it's competition every year. So, you know, we're just trying to do everything we can to be able to get a win on the schedule.
We don't really know what Wofford's going to do offensively. I think the first game threw everybody for a loop when they threw so many times. But their coach has said that they need to get back to doing what the Wofford quarterbacks can do. He's also said we need to keep the ball away from Samford. That sounds to me like more running, back to the option a lot, and running the football.
I think so. I think you've got to, as a team, and this will any successful coach will tell you, you don't adapt the team to your philosophy. You adapt your philosophy to the team that you have. And I think in order for Wofford to be successful, and Coach Conklin knows this and has said this, they've got to put their players in positions to do what they do best. And Joe Newman and Miller Mosley, some of the best things they do are run the option and make short passes, run play action. And so I think Wofford's not going to abandon the throwing game, but I do think you're going to see a run-first mentality and then guys trying to, you know, when they start creeping up in the box, then pop it over the top to some of these stud wide receivers. But it'll be interesting to see how they come out and see how the guys have adapted over these 2 weeks. You know, I think the bye week was good from a standpoint of being able to work on some things, work on some fundamentals, and really prepare yourself for this game. But I think the other thing is it's kept this bad taste in their mouth for longer than normal, and what type of mental effect is that going to have on the team?
We mentioned this before, but Wofford seems to be a team that wants to be able to throw the ball when it has to throw the ball. And that's something that just hasn't happened, really. Kind of crept in against Kennesaw State and some other teams. When they stop the run, when they stop the option, they stop the offense. And I think that's what Conklin does not want to happen. He wants to be able to utilize some of these weapons and pass the ball when they need to, when they're trailing or when the other things aren't working.
Yeah, and I think one point, and this goes for all of football, if you're doing something because you have to do it, then the other team knows you have to do it too.
Right.
I mean, if you're forced into throwing situations, or even if the team's forced into running situations, the other team's going to know it, and they can defend it. Successful teams, winning teams that win championships, are able to create an offense that keeps the other team off balance, that you don't know what's coming. And I thought South Carolina State did a really good job of that against Wofford, particularly in the first half. And I think that's what Josh is trying to do here. Build an offense that's not predictable. Now, some past Wofford teams could line up and be predictable and tell you exactly what was coming because the other team couldn't stop it. But things have evolved. Things have defenses have improved against defending the option. And so Wofford's got to make those necessary adjustments now to be able to be successful. And I think they will. I don't think what we saw against SC State is going to be what we see this year out of the Wofford offense. I think we'll see an inspired group on Saturday looking to prove a lot of the naysayers wrong.
Here's Coach Conklin and what he's asking his quarterbacks to do.
You know, I think those guys have a skill set. You know, I think we wanted to go into that game. We wanted to see what they could do, what they could handle with some of the new concepts and some of the things we were trying to get done. You know, we're not there yet at that position, just in terms of some of the things that we want to do. So, you know, we'll just continue to put our guys in the best position possible. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. I think you take what guys do well, their strengths, their weaknesses, and you go put them in the best position possible to be successful. If you are one-dimensional, you're going to have a hard time winning against really good football teams. You can be competitive all the time, but can you win against really good football teams? And that's my opinion on it, you know? And so it's not we're going to run the ball more or throw the ball less. It's what throws can we make? You know, what throws are high percentage throws for our guys, what throws they feel comfortable throwing. And then obviously, incorporating, you know, the run game in that as well.
I want to touch on something I was going to write about later this week. It's bringing guys in early. The true freshmen who came in over the Christmas break and how important that is. There were three guys, Jay Hazel, Miles Richardson, and Irvin Mulligan. All came in, and this is new for Wofford.
Yeah.
They brought in, got transfers have come in early, but not true freshmen until the summer, and this seems like a really big deal.
It is, and it's a trend in college football. It's a trend that, you know, I have mixed feelings on it. I think from a football standpoint and just looking at football, it's go for it. You get a guy able to come in and take a semester's worth of classes and go through your spring practice, they've got a leg up. I mean, that's a half year of your football that they're learning and able to execute when they get into summer ball and then especially the fall camp. But the Power Fives, the Georgias, Alabama, Clemsons of the world have been doing this forever. You know, the downside to it for me, and this is totally from a personal perspective, you know, guys are giving up their last semester of high school, which I think can be a pretty cool experience as well. Now it just depends on what matters to you most. Is it having fun? For me, a lot of times that's what mattered most is having some fun. But for guys who want to go ahead and make that step and move to college and start preparing themselves for college football, clearly you can see those three guys have had an impact already for Wofford and how valuable it can be for them and the coaching staff and the team.
Yeah, it's paid off already. Hazel, starting cornerback. Irvin Mulligan had a good game. Those guys were high school teammates who left early together. Scored the only touchdown Wofford had last week. And Miles Richardson is the starter in the nickel package. So it's crucial. I mean, those guys have to be in there, and I don't know where they would be if they didn't come in early.
Yeah, that's a good point. If those guys aren't as progressed as they are in the Wofford system, they're probably not able to contribute like they're contributing now. And so that's a big deal for Wofford. And particularly, you know, you mentioned the defensive backs, a group that's already young, at least they've got a little bit more experience having gone through a spring practice rather than the true freshmen.
A couple home games now. We didn't travel too far, just down to Orangeburg for the opener, but nice to have a couple home games to get this thing rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're always more comfortable at home. And I think the opportunity to come out Saturday night and to be in Gibbs Stadium, Mike Ayers Field, and to you know, be back in your home uniforms and that comfort level is important. And I think that's good for Wofford. I think that's going to be tough for Sanford. I don't think they played a home game yet. I think they were on the road there, a neutral site game, and then on the road. And, of course, they were off this past weekend. So that'll be a challenge for them. Getting back home always is favorable for you. But you still got to do what you need to do. You got to block. You got to tackle. You got to hang on to the football. You got to force turnovers. But doing it at home sometimes is easier than doing it on the road.
Well, looking forward to it. Like we said earlier, it has a different feel, more intense for everybody involved, and we'll see how it goes. The Terriers need a win, though.
Yeah, they do. Sanford needs a win, too. You got 0-1 versus 0-2. Fortunately for both of them, it's first conference game, so somebody's going to come out Saturday after the game feeling a lot better about themselves, and somebody's going to feel really poorly about themselves and start wondering what's going on and how do we figure it out, and we'll see what happens Saturday.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, glad to, Todd.
Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Todd Shaughnessy is the Terrier Tracker with over 20 years covering Wofford sports. The Terrier Tracker Podcast, presented by the Spartanburg Herald Journal and GoUpstate.com.